it good to be in church? Amen. Ain't it good to be saved? Amen. It's wonderful to be saved. I do want to say I appreciate the privilege, and it is that. I sometimes get nervous and worried about, you know, exactly what you're going to say. You get in the pulpit and you're between the moments of the Holy Ghost of God passing by and helping you preach, and you're just trying to open up the service. And I don't want to ever be repetitious, but I do want to say it is a privilege, and I mean that, to be with you here at Bible Believers Baptist Church. Amen. And I've enjoyed the day. Amen. I've enjoyed everything about the day. I enjoy this atmosphere. And I can't think of anything that I would rather do than to get to spend the day with a group of young people and just doing things together, having fun. You can still have fun and be saved. Amen. And you can be saved and have fun, but also allowing the Lord to speak to our heart through the Word of God and through worship and things of that nature. Now, I tell you, if you're a part of the church here or from somewhere else, don't make light of meetings such as this. I can think back on my life, and I can look at youth rallies and services that I was in and that were life-changing. Those messages that went out that forever changed my life. And still today, I remember a lot of those services and how the Lord spoke to my heart through them. So it's a blessing to be here. I appreciate Brother Andrew asking me. It's always good to be with Brother Paul, and me and Brother Paul grew up together, and so it's always good to be in service with him, and I enjoyed his message this morning, amen, and enjoyed that. Let's all stand, amen. We don't necessarily have to stand to reverence the Word of God. I always say this at my church, but it might be the last chance that you get to for an hour, amen. And 2 Samuel chapter number 13 is where I'm going to go, and I feel like this is where the Lord would have us to go tonight. It's going to overlap a little bit with Brother Paul, and I believe that's going to be okay, amen. I believe that's what the Lord wants for us. And 2 Samuel chapter number 13, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, 'Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?' And Amnon said unto him, 'I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister.' And Jonadab said unto him, 'Lay thee down on thy bed, make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, saith unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand.' So Amnon laid down and made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, 'I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand.' Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, 'Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat.' So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all of the men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, 'Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand.' And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, 'Come, lie with me, my sister.' And she answered him, 'Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel, and do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. And Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, 'Arise, be gone.' And she said unto him, 'There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me.' But he would not hearken unto her." You may be seated. I'm going to ask God's blessings on the message tonight. Heavenly Father, I bow my head tonight, Lord, and I pray for your help. And Lord, I realize, and Lord, I want to publicly announce before everybody, Lord, I'm not good at anything. I'm not relying on a talent tonight to preach the Word of God. I don't feel like, Lord, that there's ever been a day that I've been good at doing that. So Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help me touch my voice in my body. Help me, Lord, to be a mouthpiece used from heaven. I pray for the Holy Ghost of God to go before me. And Lord, I pray that you'd send the illuminating light, Lord, of the Spirit of God to, Lord, shine in the dark places of our hearts. Show us where we're wrong. Show us, Lord, where maybe tonight where we're not where we should be. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use the Word of God to do that, Lord, which I cannot do, to reprove and rebuke, Lord, those things in our life. And Lord, it may be in our fellowship, our Christian walk, that shouldn't be there. Lord, I pray for the soul that's nearest hell tonight, wherever they are. I'm burdened for some at my church. I'm burdened for some young people, Lord, that I have a desire, Lord, to see them get back in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Some that are unsaved, and so many that are unconcerned with where they'll spend eternity. I pray for them. Lord, I pray you'd bless the message tonight. Forgive me of failures, faults, shortcomings, anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Ghost of God from using me. Lord, I pray you'd help me with that. Lord, preach me tonight. Lord, I beg as though it'd be my last chance, last time, and last opportunity. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen and amen. I want to re-say what I said a little bit before I started reading my text tonight, that there's really no better platform for me than the one that I have before me. Preaching to young people is something that I may not necessarily feel like I'm as good at it as some are, but there's no greater blessing than getting the opportunity to take the Bible and to influence the hearts of young people. Amen. I think about the years as I've been pastor where I am, going on 12 years, and I think about those first years when I was there, and there wasn't many. When I took the church, Lily was just a baby. She was just a few months old, and for my children, that's the only church that they have ever known. And I think about back then, Brother Andrew, we didn't have any children. There was just a handful of children, and how back then that how I longed for young people to be in the church and young people to be a part of the services. And I can look back now from that point to the point where we are now, and they're full. There's just all kinds of kids, and what a great blessing that is. And sometimes I think that we overlook that. Amen. Maybe we're interested in maybe the growth of young families or the growth of this and that. Sometimes if we're not careful, for me, I look over how much of a blessing it is to get to preach to young people and try your best to influence them. Amen. Sometimes as a growing up in a youth group or at a church where you're very outgoing and going to places, going to youth camps and going to youth meetings and things of that nature, sometimes you may not think of how important that is as a young person in getting to go or having a pastor that is minded to do what we're doing today. Amen. This is just not a series of services or a day put together so that you can be here, play some ball, win some prizes, and have some candy. It's much more than that for him and the men whose heart is where it should be in trying their best to mold you into something that God would be pleased with. We're hoping, we're wishing, we're praying, we're burdened for maybe those ones that we look out over our crowd, and we're praying that God would use them. Amen. And maybe somebody is the next person in our area that will have a ministry, maybe a national platform. Maybe they're the next person that'll step into the scene, out of the shadows, into a place of labor where that we are leading, and all of that, so that it's all put together for a purpose. We're desiring God to use these meetings and these messages to influence their life. And really, I was talking to your pastor this evening, isn't that the greatest struggle that we face as youth pastors and pastors, is combating the influences of the world that are on our young people? And many times when we sit in messages and meetings such as this, and preachers preach maybe on the top five of things that we look out over society, and as a young person who is trying to be right with God and is trying to be right and study their Bible and trying to pray and have a personal walk and relationship with Christ, we think to ourselves that, this message isn't for me, and I don't struggle with that, and I don't really have anybody in my home that's an alcoholic, or I don't have anybody in my house that is an addict, and I really don't have to deal with some of these things. And sometimes maybe we turn off those messages that we think are not geared toward us. But can I submit to you tonight, the devil doesn't really care how he destroys your life or how that he influences you in a capacity to take you away from God and to take you away from the work of God, as long as he is successful in doing it. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5 verse 8 teaches us that we have an adversary. Amen. We're all familiar with that passage. Amen. With something that was a second nature to us. Amen. But that's not just to adults. Amen. That we have an adversary who is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may
devour. We're to be sober. We're to be vigilant. Amen. But even as a young person, amen, the devil, he wants to and desires, is the word that I'm trying to use. He desires to destroy them at whatever cause he can. And sometimes that destruction that is creeping into our life comes in some of the some forms that maybe we're not looking for it. Amen. Maybe we think it's going to come in some of those big ones or those top big sins that destroy so many people and it's so prevalent out in society. But it's not always that case. Amen. But sometimes the devil will use an avenue or use somebody, an association or an occupation or a recreation. Amen. He'll use whatever he can to take you away from God so that he might hinder what you might become for him. I believe this story tonight that I've read to you, you know, when we think about youth meetings and we think about things that we preach on, 2 Samuel chapter 13 ain't a top one. Amen. It's not a story that I want to go to, amen, because of how bad, how wicked, how vile that this story becomes, amen. But when I think about that within the story, the line that reaches out to me is one that I think young people don't pay attention to a lot, amen. You know, in this passage of Scripture here, Amnon, at the beginning, he's having some bad thoughts, Brother Andrew. He's dealing with some trouble in his mind, amen. And, you know, if we'd be honest tonight, that's a struggle that we all have. Amen. I'm going to take his coat off. It'll be all right. Amen. And Amnon is dealing with some things. And when you read the story, when you think about how that he's got a crush on his half-sister, everybody in here, you shiver, amen. You cringe at how awful and how vile that it is. But I believe that the Bible is showing us within this that at the beginning of the passage of Scripture, Amnon has got those thoughts contained, amen. He's got them within his mind. The Bible even puts an emphasis on the fact that Amnon, he says this, he thought it hard that he could ever do anything to her, amen. He had gotten to a place that that crush, that desire, that lust that he had bedded it down, and he said, you know what, I'm just not going to be able to do anything about that. I'm just not going to be able to act on that, amen. I'm just not going to go forward with those thoughts, amen. And he kind of had them contained, amen. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It says, but Amnon had a friend. Amen. Amnon had a friend. By way of introduction, I want to show you some things that all of us have in similarity with Amnon. You know, when you read this story as somebody who wants to do right by God, you think about this, you think, well, there ain't nothing in this for me. I mean, what this guy's thinking about, what this guy's pondering upon, it's awful, it's wicked, it's vile. This guy, he's off his rocker. I mean, he's not playing with a full deck of cards. I mean, this is a terrible, wicked, vile story. But I want to show you something real fast before I get into my message that all young people and even adults deal with. And it'll be these three things that will cause us great struggle, that will cause us even to get to the point, if we're not careful, to be completely destroyed by the devil. I want to show you something by way of introduction real fast. Look at the things that bothered Amnon. Number one, Amnon was bothered by what he looked at. Look at verse number one. Look at what the Bible said. It said this, and it came to pass that after this that Absalom the son of David had a fair sister. You know, I don't think the Bible does anything by coincidence. Amen. I don't believe there's anything placed. I believe the Bible is inexhaustible. I believe it's inerrant, amen. I believe it's infallible. I believe we got the perfect, a word of God right here before us. I'm not looking for a new Bible. You can say amen right there. It's okay to say amen on that. Amen. And I don't believe the Bible has within it any type of wording that should not be there. Amen. I don't think it's by coincidence that it said that Tamar was fair. Amen. I mean, you say, well, what do you mean, preacher? I say that to say this tonight. The devil knows exactly what you have your eyes on. The devil knows exactly, amen, what it is in your mind that bothers you. When you look at that, automatically there are those evil thoughts or those wicked thoughts, those sinful thoughts, amen. And I believe that's why the Bible allows us to see that for Amnon, when he looked at Tamar, she was more to him than just somebody he was kin to. There was a lust there. There was a problem with what he looked at. It went beyond just somebody who had some maybe a pretty smile or a pretty face. Amen. There was something there that struck a chord in Amnon's life, and it caused him to have a problem with what he looked at. You know, I think it's crazy that so many kids get phones at such a young age. Everybody okay right there? I mean, man, if there's not some type of hedge put about that, some type of passcode, some type of parental controls on that thing, I mean, you're handing one of the most vicious, wicked, vile tools right into the hands of a young person, amen, to be able to look at whatever they want to. Hey, and it's by no coincidence tonight that those things that we look at, it coincides with what we see, what we ponder on, then it becomes sin, amen. We look at it, we think about it, we act on it, it becomes a sin, and over and over and over. And so for Amnon, he was having a problem, a lot like all of us, with what he looked at. His fair sister. Number two, I thought about this before we get to our message. Amen. It wasn't just what he looked at, but it's what he loved. He had a problem with what he loved. Amen. You know, we all have common interests. We all have interest. Amen. That's the best way to say it. We all have things that pull to our fleshly nature. And those are things that you're always going to struggle with. Brother Paul talked about them this morning. Those are things, I'd like to say that once I got saved, that I don't have any problem with those things anymore. But that's not the case. I'd like to be able to say that when God called me to preach, that I don't struggle with things anymore. But that's not the case. I'd like to be able to say that once God put me in the place of the ministry where I am pastoring, that no longer I struggle with such things or problems with things. But that's not the case. We all have problems with things that pull to our flesh. Amen. And he wasn't just struggling with what he was seeing in Tamar, but he was also struggling with the love that he had for Tamar. You know, one of the things I think is pushed oftentimes, and I think we ought to be careful of, it's how quick that we put young people together. Amen. How quick that we push them in a relationship. Amen. We see a good young boy that we got high hopes for. I mean, I've got some that I've got super high hopes for in my church, Brother Andrew. I want to see, I hope that they develop their life to God and they submit themselves to God. And someday I hope one of them boys in particular takes my job. Amen. And I get to pass the torch to this young man. And I don't know that it'll ever happen that way, but sometimes what we'll do, and I believe it's a really danger, amen, is we'll say, well, you know what? I believe that person and that person, they'd go good together. Or I believe this person and this person. No, what we need to do is get ourselves out of the way oftentimes and just let God work it out. Amen. He knows better than I know. And he knows better than you know. Amen. And sometimes if we're not careful, there's so much pressure on a young person that wants to get out of high school. They need to figure out where they're going to go. And then they need to get married. And then they need to plan out their life. Amen. And there's so much pressure placed upon them that oftentimes I believe things are mistaken to be loved, and they're not love at all. The Bible said he fell sick for her. Look at verse number 2. You know what that was? He was crushed. I mean, man, he had a big crush. He fell sick for her. What does that mean, preacher? All of us tonight that are over, 15, 13, 14, 15-year-old, we know what they're talking about. Amen. We know about, he was thinking about her constantly. I mean, I don't believe there was an hour went by, a moment went by, that Tamar wasn't on his mind. And I'm not a Bible corrector, and I don't even believe, friend, that we should try to correct the Bible. But I believe what the Bible is dealing with here is, the Bible is saying is Amnon loved her. But I believe what we're going to find out before it's over with is the love that Amnon had for her wasn't a love, amen, like your mom and dad should have for one another. It was a love and a desire, more so a lust. He wanted her and he desired her in a manner that was wrong and that was evil. And I believe what bothered Amnon are some of the same things that bother us. You better be careful what you look at. Amen. You better be careful what you love. What you love, amen, what you love. And I thought about this, I want to hurry, amen. Not only what he looked at, not only what he loved, but I thought about this, what he listened to. Amen. What he listened to. Notice what the Bible said. Verse number 5, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm just going to give you a little bit of phrase out of verse 5. And Jonadab said unto him, amen. Look at verse number 6. So Amnon lay down. I mean, it's like there's not even a thought process took place. It's just as soon as Jonadab makes mention of what's going on, just as soon as Jonadab comes up with this idea, amen, of how that he could have what he's looking at, how that he can have what he loved, he automatically, friend, gives himself over to listening, amen, to what this man is telling him, what his so-called friend is giving him. You better be careful what you look at. You better be careful what you love. But you sure better be careful what you listen to. Not everything, and not everything that somebody is telling you all that's coming in your ear is by word of advice is what God would have you to do. Amen. Not everything that is coming to you by somebody you think cares about you or has your best interest, amen, in mind, is not what God would have for your life. Amen. Just because so-and-so down the road thinks it's okay, that doesn't mean that's what God wants for you. Amen. Or just because this happened to some person, that doesn't mean it's what the Lord would have for you. Amen. And Amnon was having trouble with what he looked at. He was having trouble with what he loved. And because of what he was looking at was overpowering him. And because of what he loved was overpowering him, he fell prey to what he listened to. I want to preach for a very short time, real fast, on this thought on an Amnon had a friend. Amnon had a friend. I agree with Brother Paul as what he said this morning. He made mention this morning, that we're preaching on Saturday morning, Saturday evening. For those that go to camp for a whole week, amen, and they're there all week, you're preaching to the best, amen. But the devil wants the best just as much as he wants those ones that are struggling, if not more, amen. And if I would say that there is one thing that hinders church children, amen. I'm talking about children who their mom and dad come to the house of God. They bring them week in, week out, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it's the same thing that bothers bus children. Amen. That we pick up on our bus, we bring them on Wednesday night, we bring them on Sunday morning, we take them to church camp and all things. They're the same thing. If there was one thing that I could put my finger on, and I would say that it hinders more than anything, it's the same thing that's going on in the story. It's the same thing that's going on in the story. What is that? Amnon was having some bad thoughts. He was having bad thoughts, but if we'd be honest tonight, all of us struggle with wickedness in our mind. And you know, I honestly feel like in my heart that Amnon, he had come to the conclusion as wicked. Amen. He needed to get right with God anyway. Amnon needed to take those things and dismiss those thoughts. Amen. But the thing that got Amnon to the place, amen, that Amnon acted on those things is when he got around somebody who promoted those wicked thoughts that Amnon was having. And if there's one thing that I can say, it seems like hinders our children. The cream of the crop, the Saturday morning crowd, the Saturday evening crowd, the Sunday morning crowd, the Sunday night crowd, the ones that we think are going to go all the way for the Lord and they're going to become something that magnifies and glorifies God. Oftentimes, I find myself, friend, most of the time, a lot of times, and I hate to say this, it is those that they have around them. It is those that they have as a friend. It's a girlfriend who comes in and we know all of a sudden, Brother Andrew, that's not the one that God has for them. Or it's a boyfriend that comes in the door and starts sitting with them on Sunday morning. Or it's somebody they meet at college. Or it's somebody they meet at high school. Or it's somebody they just meet out in everyday life. And we start seeing that person drift away from God. And maybe they aren't coming as faithful as they used to. But maybe all of a sudden they're not signing up for things on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, but through the bus ministry and other things, they're not volunteer. And we start watching them drift away and drift away and drift away, and we know in our mind it is the influence of that person in their life that they have that they need to get rid of. They need to get away from that person. It's the Jonadab, a friend who is whispering in their ear, who is ministering to the things that they've looked at, to the things that they've loved, to the things that they've listened to, and they're pulling them away from God. Oftentimes it's unaware to that person. They don't see it. I just dealt with a young man just a few weeks ago, and man, I was telling him, and I live streamed. I hope I'm not live streaming, am I? Hey, man, and I just dealt with a young boy a few weeks ago. He's got a burden for another boy, amen, or it's actually older than him in our church, and he's got a burden for him. This boy's fell out of the will of God. He's a preacher boy, I'll go ahead and tell you, and we all had high hopes for this preacher. He got hurt, amen. He's in his early 20s. He got hurt in church, and he had a loved one, his father passed away, and it was very tragic, and this boy didn't have a whole lot of family, and he got hurt a short period after that, and he just got out of church, and we started seeing him slip away, and I had multiple late night phone call talks with him, and some of those talks were hard, amen. Some of those talks were very difficult when I was honest with him about the things of the Word of God, and I was honest with him about what I saw that was coming down. There was another young boy in our church that got burdened for him, and all of a sudden what took place was he left his position on the front row, and he started sitting in the back, amen, and he started all of a sudden, shying away from some of his position that he had, or some of the things that he done on Sunday. Some some of the things that we ask of him to do. And he started going back. And as bad as I hate to say it, oftentimes what happens is it's not the good one that pulls the one that's struggling in. It's the one that's struggling that pulls the good one out. And man, Brother Andrew, I don't want folks to get upset with me or be offended, but man, I was doing my best to sound the alarm to that young man. You better be careful how much that you are being close to him. I want to see him got right with God. I want to see that young man come to an altar of repentance and make things right. I want to see the day, amen, that his fellowship is restored with God. I want to see the day that God uses him in ministry again. But we got to be careful, amen. Satan does not care what avenue and what tool that he uses to take you away from God. And if you're not careful, he'll use somebody close to do it. Amen. Amnon, sure, I don't want to make light of how wicked his thoughts was. Amen. But I wouldn't want mine broadcasted tonight. You wouldn't either. And I believe Amnon had a little bit of sense, and the Bible makes mention that he found it too hard to do anything to her. But the Bible said that Amnon had a friend. I want to show you some problems with his friend. I want to hurry. Number one, we see the character of Amnon's friend, Jonadab. You know what the Bible says about him? Amen. He was a very subtle man. I'm going to go back. I'm a really simple guy, amen. But the Bible used specific words, and words are very important in the Word of God. If you were to study your Bible by the law of first mention, and you could take the word, what that means is that when you find a word, and you want to know something by definition about it, or you want to know about a meaning about it, oftentimes you can go back to the first place that that word is used, and oftentimes you can see some things, some similarities, and things that are put together throughout all of the context of the Scripture. And so here in the Scriptures, when you find that the Bible describes Jonadab, Amnon's friend, as a subtle man, it automatically, in my mind, reading my Bible, puts up a red flag. I mean, automatically, the character of this young man ought to have been sending signals to Amnon that he ought to get away from him. If you were to go to Genesis chapter number 3, you're going to find the first mention of the word subtle. Anybody know what's in the context of Genesis chapter number 3? It's where all of mankind, amen, messed up. The fall of man, sin, the curse, amen, of the world and all that took place, amen. The very word that is used to describe the serpent is the word that is used to describe Jonadab. Somebody said, preacher, I'm not seeing the similarities. I believe we can say this tonight, that Jonadab was a devilish person. How would Jonadab, if you were to look up the definition, you would see that the subtle means sly. Subtle means crafty. Subtle means sneaky. By definition, Jonadab was the type of person who was always looking for something to get into. Amen. There ought to be, and I said all that to say this tonight, in your relationships, young people, look up here at me, I'm almost done. In your relationships in life, amen, if there's somebody that is always on the shady side, if there's somebody that is always, boy or girl, that is on the crafty side, the sly side, amen, if it is somebody that you're constantly wondering about what their intentions are in your life, that is not somebody that you need to enjoy yourself to. And it's not somebody that you need to build a relationship with. Amen. Whether you go to public school or you're homeschooled, whether you play sports, amen, in a public setting, a little league team or an AAU basketball team, amen. Hey, be careful who that you make friends in your life. Be extremely careful with those who are always looking to do the things that you know aren't right. The Bible said in the character of this man, he was a subtle man. Do you know that when you look at the word subtle throughout all the Scripture, you don't find any good mention of it in the Bible? Amen. And you know, there's a reason as we teach the Word of God, and the many of you are up and older than I'm preaching to tonight, you probably sat under multiple lessons. You probably got a really good knowledge of the Bible. And then the Lord, as He begins to help you with those things that you take in and you ingest through messages and Sunday school and things of that nature, amen, and you place them in your heart, amen. And as you listen to things, as you look out in the world, as you serve the Lord, and when those things come to remembrance, and by way of reminder, when somebody says something or somebody acts a certain way in front of you, hey, friend, automatically those things pop into your mind. That's the Holy Spirit of God showing you, amen. And that's what ought to happen to Amnon. When Amnon told him what he was thinking about, when Amnon seen that he was pushing him into the avenue of why that he was feeling bad, why his countenance was low, there would have been a red flag going off to Amnon. That as soon as Jonadab began to make mention of what he could do to have those nasty, vile, wicked, sinful things, automatically Amnon ought to see, this man is not my friend. You know what I'm afraid of oftentimes is that we overlook people's character for some type of personal gain. As young people, everybody, I mean, we live in a society who pushes for you to fit in. Amen. Pushes for you to find whatever it is. If it's some type of sport, amen, that you need to excel at to be accepted in society. Or maybe you need to do this to be accepted by this one. Or maybe you need to do this to be accepted. Amen. But you know what, friend? Hey, I think we put way too much of a stress and a burden upon young people to be accepted by the public. You ought to be worried about being accepted by God. Amen. You ought to be worried about looking at your life. Amen. Line it up with the Word of God and that God is pleased with where you are as a young person. Amen. And we worry too much about popularity. We worry too much about being cool. I tell you, I'm sick to death, and I don't want to get too comfortable. Amen. I'm not at home. But I get really sick, Brother John, at folks desiring to be cool. Amen. And it's like, man, they just participated at 12 and 13. But right when they get about right before their license, amen, you just can't get them to come to church faithfully at church camp when you sing those songs. Amen. Tony, Chester, they're just standing there, Brother Andrew, and they're too cool, and they're worried about what people think. Amen. Hey, and I want to tell you tonight, friend, if it's those people in your life, amen, who are pulling at you at the things, amen, that you shouldn't look at, the things that you shouldn't love, the things that you shouldn't be listening to, be careful. It just might be the devil is using somebody to sneak their way into your life, amen, to destroy you and what you might become for God. Amnon ought to notice the character of Jonadab. Amen. Number two, he ought to understood the wrong counsel of Jonadab. Amen. The character, I mean, he's sly, he's sneaky. You know what, can I throw this in for good measure? Parents, we ought to see that. There ought to be somebody, we're on them like a bird dog, amen. I mean, automatically we ought to say, hey, that person's not good for my child, amen. I mean, I know that society promotes and that we ought to, our friends, our children, they want to be our friend and we ought to desire to, hey, I'm my child's parent before I'm ever their friend, amen. And sometimes dad, he ain't the most liked guy in the house, amen. But if it's one thing for our children to miss picking it up, but as a parent, God help us to hone in on the character, amen, of people around them. We ought to look at that counsel. Notice what he said. He told him, he said, but in verse number four, he said, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? What's wrong with you? That's what he's asking him. Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother's sister. Number one, he ought to be ashamed about that. Hey, man. He ought to be ashamed about, hey, the things that are wicked and vile in your mind, they ought to shame you. That's what's wrong with society today is nothing shames us anymore. Nothing bothers us anymore. Nothing pierces our conscience anymore. Amen, friend. And as he began to vocalize those things that should have been embarrassing, the first thing that Jonadab, if he was worth his weight of salt, amen, he is automatically in order to shame him. Amen. Automatically, Jonadab should have been like, man, that's disgusting. That's gross. That's vile. Don't talk to me about that. But that's not the case. Immediately, he doesn't stutter. He doesn't stammer. He doesn't even stumble, a friend, but he begins to give a reaction, amen. He begins to guide him counsel to get what he wanted. Notice what he said, amen. He told him in verse number 4 and verse number 5. And he said unto them, he asked him, he said, why are you so lean? Look at verse 5. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in the sight that I may see it and eat at her hand. Number one, you know, within the counsel of Jonadab, amen, Amnon understood the disobedience that he was giving him. Amen. I mean, it's just blatantly wrong. Look up here, young people. I know that the message is oftentimes at teen meetings and things of that nature, you've heard it a million times, and sometimes you think, well, that's just not going to happen to me. Don't say that. Never say never. Amen. Be careful what you say could never happen to you. Amen. You don't know what girl might come into your life, the wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong scenario that's going on. You don't know what boy might come into your life. Amen. And the devil just use that person. But let me tell you something, a real easy way. You say, preacher, I just don't know that I'd be able to point it out. I just don't know that I'd be able to see that person that the devil's trying to use that I think might be my friend to try to ruin me and destroy me. I'm going to give you a good one right here. Amen. You need to get your theological waders on. Right right here for this one. Amen. You ready? Amen. If they're pointing you to do what's wrong blatantly against the Bible, they're not your friend. Amen. If they're pointing you to be disobedient to what you know is wrong, amen, automatically you don't need a preacher to get up and preach you a message about that. You don't need to call the pastor about that necessarily. Automatically, if you're saved, amen, and you've got an indwelling of the Spirit of God that lives in you, there ought to automatically be an alarm that goes out that anything that is contrary to the Word of God is not what God wants for me. I think about that automatically. You know what Amnon should have known? I believe Amnon would have known what the Word of God's stance was. That's why he felt the way he felt. Leviticus chapter number 18, verse 9 through 11. If you want to go there and turn, you know what Amnon wouldn't have known? Amnon would have known that it was forbidden, amen, for him to see the nakedness of his sister. He would have known it was forbidden to lay a hand on his sister, amen. He would have known automatically that by the Word of God, amen, was pointing and proving. I believe that's why in his mind he said he's seen it hard for him to do anything, amen. But you know what the devil will use? The devil, he'll use somebody to tell you, amen, that it's okay. You know, that the Bible's just old hat. The Bible's just something you need to dismiss. The Bible's just something, a friend, that worked back there years ago. And oftentimes, I've seen it 100 times, Brother Andrew, where a young person so desiring to fit in, so desiring to be a part of, so desiring to have what they think they love and what they think they're good to listen to, amen, that they'll throw away being obedient unto God and listen to the disobedient counsel of a bad friend. We see in his counsel the disobedience in Leviticus. We see it in Deuteronomy 27:7, amen. And you know what we can just say? We can just mark her down. Friend, the easiest way for us to tell is if I ever have somebody in my life that I consider to be my friend, and I go to them with troubles or cares or burdens, or maybe even some things that I'd like to have, and they point me in a direction that's wrong with the Bible, that's not somebody I need to keep close in my life. Amen. The disobedience, amen, that is given to him in the counsel. I thought about this, the deceit of his counsel. Amen. Notice what he said. And not only was he pointing him to be wrong with the Word of God, but next of all, he was pointing him to be deceitful in his actions. He said, make thyself sick. Lie. Amen. That's the next thing that he told him to do. Lie. Everybody look up here. If you've got a friend that just hanging out with them and being around them forces you to have to lie to your parents, amen, or lie in your life in general. And this ain't just to young people. Hey, adult, if you've got somebody in your life that something in your flesh is attracted to them, to be around them, there's something that lures you to them, but you have to lie about who you are and what you are to be around that person, amen. That ought to be a red flag. How many of you know what the backup beeper is on a vehicle? And what's it for? You know those big commercial trucks, when they put it in reverse, automatically it starts going beep, beep, beep. It starts backing up, or big machinery, amen. That ought to be what the Holy Ghost is doing in your mind, amen. When you have to start telling those lies and living some kind of fraudulent life, amen, just to be around them or to be connected to them. I mean, for Amnon, hey friend, being wrong with the Word of God would have been enough. But when he began to make him a lie about what he was doing, Amnon ought to stopped it and said, you know what, this ain't right, this is wrong, this will destroy me, amen. How many times have we seen kids, how many times have we seen young people, how many times have we seen young adults heed the counsel of somebody, amen, that doesn't care anything about their spiritual life, anything about it, amen. Let me tell you something, all you girls look up here, amen, if there's some boy that you like, that you're crushing on. I'm not against that. I like ladies. I liked one so much, I married one, amen. We've been married 15 years, and I love Miss Tiffany, and I'm for all of that. But you don't know how to look at her. If there's some boy that you've got a crush on, and man, you want to be around him, and you want to have a part in his life and all of that, and you constantly got to lie about your relationship with God, if you've got to go home this evening and you've got to lie about where you've been today because you're afraid of what he'll think about you, or you're afraid of what he's going to say to you, you just listen to this dumb Tennessee preacher, amen. You don't need him in your life. Amen. You need to junk him. You need to get rid of him. Amen. Hey, some of you mamas need to get them cell phones and you need to look at them text messages. Amen. And if that young lady's had to lie about it, you need to help her get rid of him. Amen. But some of you boys, amen. Hey, if there's some girl in your life that you're crazy about, that you think a lot of, that maybe you think there's some kind of future with her, if you've got to lie about where you've been today, you need to get rid of her. Amen. She's not for you. If you go to church with that person and on those Sundays that you're in church together, you can't be who God would have you be. You're afraid to lift a hand. You're afraid to worship. You're afraid to go to an altar. Look up here, friend. You need to junk that individual in your life. Amen. When you feel like you got to be deceitful in who you are just to have a friendship with them. Amen. The counsel of Jonadab was terrible. Amen. His disobedience, amen. And Amnon would have known. I believe he did know, and I can't prove it, amen. But he had already had the mindset, I cannot do it. I cannot be a part of that. I can't do it. It's too hard, amen. He's going against the word of God, but not only that, to be deceitful in his action, amen. To lie and to have schemes. You know what? You say, well, preacher, I don't believe church kids do that. Amen. You ain't been around them much. Amen. I absolutely hate cell phones. Every problem I deal with as a pastor and young people, just about 99.9 to carry the 9 for a million years, has to do with a cell phone. We take them up at youth camp, and it usually makes all the moms mad, and it usually makes all everybody mad, and everybody hates my guts for at least 2 hours. Hey, man, I don't care if you're under 18, you're staying on the grounds and you're a part of our church or any other church associated, I take their phone. Hey, man, we tell the other pastors, please take their phone. Amen. And you know how, you know, you say, well, this isn't for me, preacher. I'm not deceitful at all. Well, you're completely not like any kids where I come from, because, you know, this past year, you know, some of them were so dumb, but they thought they were so smart that they didn't have one phone. They had an old phone, and they thought I was so stupid, and I was for a couple of days. They give me the old phone. It'd be some old flip phone. It's just a hotel card. But it'd be some old flip phone that hadn't been turned on in 9,000 years. And I had so much, you know, so much going on in my mind that I didn't really think about it. Miss Tiffany, she got kind of tuned in to some of it. And the whole time they had their other phone, amen. And they thought us had their full, amen. And they were just going on with their Snapchats, amen. And going on with TikTok and their streaks, amen. And I don't care. I tell them all, I don't care anything about stress. Sound like something you ought not do. And you ought to be repentant if you do it, amen. And all of those things, amen. But children, oftentimes, hey, don't let the devil blind you to the fact that you're capable of doing some of these things, if not all of these things that we preach about, amen. This isn't something that goes over your head or something to be cast to the side. The devil does not care how he destroys you. He doesn't care how he destroys your family. And if he can do it as easily as using somebody you think is a friend, he'd be more than glad to do it, amen. We see the deceit in his counsel, the disobedience in his counsel. I thought about this. We see the defilement in his counsel. Amen. Do you know what? At the end of some terrible, wicked, vile, sinful thing, I've never, Brother Paul mentioned it this morning, I've never met a kid that said, you know what, I meant to get here. Amen. I've never met, when it's all said and done, Brother John, when it's all over with and it's come to a head and the problem is made known and all that, I've never met any young person that's a preacher, I knew what I was doing and I meant to get here and I meant to destroy my family and I meant to destroy my testimony and I meant to destroy, I've never met anybody like that. It was always, Brother Andrew, I never meant to get here. I never meant to let it go this far. I never meant for it to wind up. I didn't think it would be this bad. Amen. But we see in the beginning with, in just a few short verses, amen, when he began to hear somebody, a friend that was agreeing and counseling him on those wicked, vile thoughts. Not only now does he love her, not only now is he having wicked imaginations about her, but he's willing to do whatever it takes, friend, to feed that wicked desire that he has in his heart. Everybody look up here tonight. You don't know how far you'd go, amen, down the path of sin if you've got somebody whispering in your ear that it's okay for you to do it, that it's all right for you to do it. Friend, you say, well, preacher, you know, my conscience will be my guide. That's the craziest thing that I ever heard, friend. We're sinners by nature, sinners by birth, and given opportunity, sinners by choice. Be careful heeding the counsel of a bad friend. The defilement within is a sin. Let me tell you something. Any counsel to sin, no matter how big or how small, is bad counsel. Amen. as bad counsel. It always starts off as something that's small. It always starts off as something, amen. And I know Brother Paul, he dealt with a lot of this morning, but I wanted to be obedient to the Lord. I don't think you could preach it enough, amen. It always starts out as something that's small. It always starts out as something that seems so minute. But when we get to the end of it, amen, when that seed, friend, that is planted, amen, when we sow to those things that are wicked and vile and corrupt, amen, when it comes around time to harvest, it's always reaped. It always reaps a crop that is way worse than we ever thought when we were sowing that seed, the defilement of his counsel. We see the bad counsel of this friend. We see the bad character of this friend. But I want you to see also, friend, that in Amnon having a friend, we see the consequences of this friend. Hey, man, the consequences in this friend. You know, I wish that I could tell you that every time somebody made a mistake or every time something happened, that it always just worked itself out and it just ended well. But it ain't always that way. Hey, man, it's simply not all the way. Amen, Brother Paul, I appreciate him being transparent and honest this morning and talking about what Brother Paul had to go through with a close friend. Amen. And all of us tonight, we can think about that has been in ministry any amount of time at all, that has served the Lord with any amount of fervency and capacity at all tonight. We can think of somebody, friend, who had a great lot of potential in their life and something come up in their life, amen, and caused them to go away from God. And probably to that person, it seems so small, it seems so irrelevant, it seemed like something, amen, that it was just so minute, but when it got done, the consequences was more than they wanted to bear. Amen. I thought about this. Remember, you see in verse 15, in the consequences, you see the dissatisfaction, amen, in Amnon's life. Notice what he said. After that, he has forced this upon her sister, his sister, his half-sister. Notice what he said in verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. Well, that's direct opposite of what it said at the beginning, isn't it? Is that what your Bible said? Did your Bible say that he loved her? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the same Bible. I didn't magically, mysteriously pick up some perversion of the Word of God. But all of a sudden, 15 verses, this went from a guy who is crazy crushing on this girl, having this wicked, vile imaginations and thoughts and all these things. And all, I mean, man, he is vexed. He's lovesick. Amen? He's fell sick and all. He's devised this big plan with the help of this wicked friend. And now, friend, all of a sudden, when it comes to a pass, what he has acted upon and what he has forced upon her, friend, it's not by coincidence, friend, that we ought not find it amazing that in verse number 15 that all of a sudden now he hates her. You know why? Sin will never satisfy. Sin never satisfies. Not one time. Amen. I mean, the devil will paint you, look up here at me now, and the devil will paint you some kind of great and grand picture, but it's not that way. It's not by coincidence. No, I mean, I've never seen a Budweiser billboard that had some kind of ugly picture on it. They don't put ugly ladies on those billboards. Somebody help me tonight, amen? Come on. They don't put somebody who looks bad on. They don't paint you a bad scene. They don't paint you a picture of a home that's been wrecked by alcoholism, amen? They don't paint you a picture of a car crash where a drunk driver hits a family, amen, and he ruins and ravishes their life. They don't paint you the picture of some kid who wrecks, amen, and kills a bunch of his buddy. They don't paint it that way. But the devil will paint you some kind of picture that if you can just enjoy this sin, if you can just act upon what it is that you love, that you've listened to, that you've looked at, that it'll make you happy, but it never makes them happy. Amen. Now he hates her more than he could ever have loved her. Amen. He hates her. The dissatisfaction of the consequences of the dissatisfaction of his love all of a sudden has turned into hate. Amen. Ain't it amazing how many people, I don't know about your pastor, but ain't it amazing how many people that we counsel that they've been married 5, 6, 7, 8 years and now all of a sudden they're falling out of love? I've heard that more than once. Hey, man, well, I just don't love them anymore. Hey, man, you know what my first response is to that? You probably never loved them. Hey, man, well, I just don't love him, or I just don't love her anymore. Amen. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, hey, how those relationships ought not be built upon what we look at, what we love, what we listen to, because most of the time, friend, if we be honest, it's not some kind of something that we've prayed about or something that we've trusted God about or something that we've looked to the Word of God about. We've acted upon a fleshly desire, amen. And then when the going gets tough, guess what? That love quickly turns into hate. That love quickly turns into disgust, amen, because why? Sin never satisfies us. It never satisfies. The dissatisfaction that come along with his consequences. I thought about this, the destruction that come along with the consequences. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather preach anything as this. Hey, man, there's a whole lot more in the scripture that I can run laps on and get excited about. But you know what? This is where we live. Hey, man, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, the thing that breaks my heart more and more and more about young people is the garbage that they let in their life that drags them off. Hey, man, if I could preach something that gets your attention, even if you don't remember my name, even if the whole crowd thinks it's something, man, he could have picked out anything. But if I could get your attention, amen, and you junk maybe some boy or some girl, it'd be worth it, amen, because we're losing them by the groves, if we'd be honest. How many people you'll preach here this year? And Brother Andrew, I promise you, if you come back to our camp this year, you're going to look out over the crowd, and there's going to be some that's not there, and they've been drug off by some sorry boy, or they've been drug off by some sorry girl, or somebody, or somebody that's influenced their life. And what they can't see, friend, is not only the dissatisfaction that comes along with the consequences, it's not a coincidence that so many people, friend, are miserable. They have no joy, they have no peace, they have no contentment, they hate life. Amen. Why is that? You'll never be satisfied in your sin, but if you stay in that sin, it'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. Notice what the Bible talked about here. I want to deal with a couple of things real quick. I know I've been long. You know what we say when we start thinking about the consequences oftentimes when we're trying to pass judgment, amen, or we're trying to justify rather what we are doing in our own life, or what a young person will say, this was, it just affects me. It never just affects you. Amen. Amen. It never just affects you. I think about all the things. I wish I could go back, Brother John. Hey, man, I was the youngest in my family. I was the last one to get saved. I'm the baby of my family. I got three older sisters. My dad was my pastor. I didn't get saved until I was 17 years old. Hey, man, and I go back. I can remember being a rebel and a rogue. Hey, man, I wish I could go back to the time the Lord dealt with me when I was 5 years old. I remember like it was yesterday. It was Driven Springs Baptist Church, Mayland, Tennessee. It was on a Sunday night. I wish I'd have got right that night, Brother Andrew. I wish I'd have got saved that night. Amen. And I can think about all the turmoil and the heartache and the pain that I put my parents through. Hey, man, I can think about how many nights that I've come in of a night as a teenager, and I could hear Mom getting back in bed, and she hadn't been up, friend, gargling salt water and working about in the house and trying to take care of. No, she'd been praying for me, amen. When you try to get the mentality that it just affects you, that's the devil trying to pull the wool over your eyes, friend. It affects your parents, amen. Somewhere there's a preacher that cares about you, that goes to bed at night with you on his mind. He thinks about you when you're not there on Sunday morning, or he sees you come in with somebody that's probably no good. Amen. Hey, sin don't just affect you, it affects everybody around you. Amen. It'll never just affect you. I thought about this. It doesn't hurt anybody but me. Oh, sure it does. Sure it does. It hurts all kinds of people. Hurts your church, hurts your youth group, hurts your youth pastor. Amen. When you allow someone to come in your life that takes you away from what you ought to be for God. The dissatisfaction that comes along, amen, with the consequences of sin, but the destruction. You know what happened in Amnon's life? I'm going to paraphrase. Amen, real fast. I want to hurry. But you know what? He destroyed himself. Amen. He destroyed himself. You know what? You say, well, preacher, couldn't Amnon have got it right? Yeah. But you know what he would have always been known as? He could have got it right. Amen. God will forgive. He's long-suffering that none will perish, but what? All come to repentance. Amen. The Bible said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that the Bible? But surely, you say, preacher, is it as though that I can't be forgiven? It's not that at all. Amen. But there is paths that you can go down in life that'll so scar you, you'll be marked forever, friend. It'll be hard to overcome them. Even Tamar said, you know what? You're going to be known as a fool. Don't do this. You're always going to bear this mark. Amen. He destroyed himself. Amen. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to do just that. He don't want you to go around. You know what? Hey, right there's that young person from Bible Believers Baptist Church. Well, I believe that kid loves the Lord. What greater thing can somebody say about you? Amen. Or right there, so-and-so. You know, where'd that young lady grow up? She growed up down there at Bible Believers Baptist Church. Hey, man, I wish she's a good young lady or a good young man. Maybe there's a preacher boy tonight here under Sunday morning. I don't know. You go preach somewhere, you know what's about. Where'd he come from? Well, he come from down there at Bible Believers Baptist Church. Well, that's a good young man. There is certain things in your life that the devil, you know what he'd want to do? He won't want that to be said about you. Well, where'd he come from down there at Bible, but did you hear what he got tangled up in? Amnon ruined himself. Amen. You said, preacher, would have God forgive? Sure. Amen. But he would always been marked for the wickedness he done. He destroyed himself. I thought about this. He destroyed others. Think about Tamar's life. Amen. You know, when we act upon certain things, you say, well, preacher, it's not like that everybody else isn't doing this, and I could go into all kinds of things, friend. Sure, society around you may be leading you to believe that it's right. Amen. Even in an atmosphere, amen, in a public school or things like that, they'll be leading you to believe that certain ways that young people feel and certain ways that young people, act are completely normal and things of that nature, friend. But that's just another tool of the devil to justify it in your mind so that you'll get okay with it. But hey, friend, there's some things, amen, that we know through the Bible that God has given us, through the Word of God has been placed before us, amen. They not only will affect us, but they'll also affect people around us. Be careful, young ladies, what you do. Amen. Be careful, young men, what you do. Not only will you, if you're not careful, ruin your life, but you'll ruin somebody else's.
That's right.
Amen. I think about Tamar. Amen. And then the story, as he hated her and he went to send her away, that was worse. She told him, that's worse than what's already happened to send her away. But you know what? In that moment, we don't think about how it's going to affect other people. The devil never shows you that side of the coin. The devil never shows you the backside of all that pretty picture that's in front of you, how that it'll affect somebody else's life. Amen. Somebody else's child. Amen. Somebody else's testimony for the Lord. He destroyed himself. He destroyed, amen, others. But I thought about this. I'm done. He destroyed his family. If you read the Bible and you read what takes place, Absalom become very angry, wroth, and rightfully so, I mean, you could say, for what happened to Tamar. And sure, some time passed, amen. Amen, a little bit of time passed. You read the next chapter, Absalom devised a plan to where he could get Amnon out away and get Amnon with him. And they could go out, amen. And when he was away from the palace, when he was away from his father, when he was away from other people, Amnon, give the order to those men that you take his life. Amen, to slay Amnon for what happened. Amen. If you study your Bible, you know what you're going to find? The destruction and the turmoil and the tragedy that come to David's house all started right here. It all started right here with this struggle. You say, preacher, I want to live for God and I want God to use me and I want God's hand to be upon me. Then you better be careful who you surround yourself with. Say, preacher, I want God to use my life, and I don't know if the Lord will call me to do this or the Lord will allow me to do this, but I just want to be submissive to whatever it is that God would have me to do. Will you listen to this preacher tonight, friend? Whoever those ones are that are pulling you to sin, whoever those ones are that are pulling you away from being obedient to the Word of God, whoever those ones are that are giving you that terrible, awful, wicked, vile counsel, amen, those are the ones right now, whether you're 10, whether you're 8, whether you're 15, whether you're 25, that you need to push away from and ask God to help you tonight. The devil doesn't care how he destroys you, amen. He'll use some good-looking boy that you think you can't live without. He'll use some pretty young lady that you think that's exactly the one. He doesn't care how he destroys your life. All he cares about is destroying you, destroying the ones around you, and destroying anybody within your family that he could use to hurt or give the church, amen, another black eye in the world in which we live. Let me ask you this question. Who's that friend that you know? You know what happens when we preach the Word of God? The Holy Ghost of God, he takes the Word of God, and he begins to shine into our heart. You know what he'll do? He'll put his finger just right on somebody. And if I'd be honest tonight, sitting in this, in where we're at tonight, there's probably somebody here tonight that the Holy Ghost has done just that. He's put his finger on a boy. He's put his finger on a girl. Can I submit to you, if you're here tonight and you're saying, preacher, but I'm struggling, I want this or I want that. Let me tell you something, God's got somebody for you. Amen. Brother Andrew could testify to that. He testified about it at camp this year, and I'm glad he did. It was a blessing to a bunch of young people that he don't even have a clue about. Do you want to know what? I want to say this. I thank God for the one God give me. Amen. And I'm telling you, when the Lord puts all of it together just right, and I feel like I ought to say that, when he puts it all together and it's of God and it's God's will, there's nothing better on earth than being in that position. Amen. And it's such a joy to serve the Lord. We come up the road, and it wasn't a burden to get here, Brother Andrew. It was a joy to get here. Amen. It was a joy. First of the week, my wife was sick, and both of us, we were just praying that the Lord would allow her to get better. You know why? Because there's a joy in serving God with somebody that's special that God God has put beside you. And you may be here tonight and say, preacher, I just don't feel like there's anybody out there for me, or there's anybody out there that can be a good friend to me. You just haven't met them yet, amen. But the Lord desires what's best for your life, and He desires, friend, that good person, that right person to be near you, that'll be a help to you. Why don't you come? Let's all stand. If you've got a need tonight, maybe you ought to come ask the Lord to help you. Maybe it's a girl, maybe it's a boy, maybe you're here and you're just dealing with the pressure of having some friends. Maybe you're just wanting to fit in. I don't know what it might be, but the Holy Ghost of God's probably already put His finger upon it tonight. Maybe you need to move. Paul's going to play softly. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Am I okay, preacher?
Yes, sir.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around tonight. As he plays softly on the piano, I wonder how many tonight would be honest enough that you'd come on and pray. Say, preacher, I probably, if I'd be honest, I've got somebody in my life. I need to come ask the Lord to help me deal with that. Why don't you come? Don't let the devil con you in to dismissing what I've preached on, what Paul's preached on, just to get out of the service. I'm not too far from moved from sitting in services just like this, where a man that cared about the lives of young people got up. He took a Bible and he preached on a topic that probably wouldn't preach on anything else. But I'm sure glad he didn't. He preached exactly what I needed to hear. That illuminating light of God's Word shined into my heart, and the Lord showed things and put His finger on things that I needed to get rid of, that I needed to junk. Some of you teenagers tonight, if you'd be honest, might need to come on to the altar, just be submissive to Him. There's no shame. You know what I tell my young people all the time? There's no shame in admitting where we're wrong. The shame comes when we're too proud to admit it. We just walk out the back door and we deny the fact that we need God's help in every aspect of our life. Maybe some of you girls were to come. You pastors come, preachers coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. God's speaking to hearts. Brother Paul's going to sing.